good sir.
Hey, buddy.
I'm low tech today. I'm just going with the AirPods because my Universal Audio Aero, Universal Audio, will not play nice today. So.
Oh, well.
It's usually great. But.
I wouldn't know the difference. As far as, I don't know what your high tech versus low tech is, so.
A real microphone would be high tech. What's your prehistoric gardens flag?
Oh yeah, that's prehistoric gardens is I was doing a show, a festival a while back in Salem, and Melissa was up there, and we were just dinking around at a little antique store. Our store and prehistoric gardens. I saw this, and prehistoric gardens is this just terrible, terrible, you know, prehistoric garden, like off the I-5 that I drove by probably 100 times as a kid because we would go down there. We would go, my family had property in Oregon, so we would go down there, and I was like, I cannot believe they have it. And there's just this. Just awful T-Rex just hanging over I-5. So yeah, I felt like it complimented, you know, the Batman, the Sub Pop, the Steve Martin, a little, it tied it all together. The rest of the room is a disaster, but this wall, I like.
it's a good penance. So.
Yeah. And pennants are just, they really, they pop, you know, next to the prints, you know, something, something a little different, you know, and like I have, and over here we have, I have this from when we went to New York, and then I have more Hatch than I probably should. We've got a lot of Hatch in our house, show print. Like I probably went too hard on that. So we had to like spread it out around the house, you know, so we didn't look like we were sponsored by them.
Gotcha. All right. Well, welcome back to the show. I thought we were rid of you, but you're back again. Why, per my request?
Yeah,
why are you back? Tell the people.
Because my debut comedy special is available right now. It is out. It is available to rent or purchase on Amazon Prime. And if you don't have Amazon, then you can. Go to my website, DustinNickerson.com, and get it through a website called Gumroad. So it's out. It's called Overwhelmed. It's out. And you were there for...
I was there.
You were there for the first taping.
Yeah. Is it a combo of both tapings or no?
It is a combo, yeah. Okay. Not to pull the curtain back too much, but people would probably guess that, right? I don't know. I don't know how much people know.
Well, and there's not a lot of people there because we're distancing right outside. And so you probably would be like, hey, the people in the front are different looking in this shot.
They did a good job of, you know, chopping it up as far as like, you know, I've watched, I don't know. I think they did a good job with the continuity of being like for example, the couple that sat where you sat, on the second show was a young African-American couple. And so if somebody was trying to point out continuity, they would say that that couple is different than yours. So I think they did a good job covering it up, though.
For one, I would say definitely go check it out. It was very funny and fun to get out, but also just you were a funny man, so... I'm glad to know you, and I was glad to go to that show.
I was happy to have you, and an extended Kensru clan.
Yeah, they were very loud, and it was good we brought them. to celebrate your debut comedy special, we are going to do a little breakdown. I've been starting to do these playlist breakdowns. We'll make this one available to everyone. Mostly they're available to patrons of Carry the Fire podcast, but this one will be public to promote your show, which is fun. And this is not we've been doing some like music list breakdowns, but we are going to do, what are we calling it? Our favorite comedies, top. It's hard because it's really hard to rank it. We tried to spread it out a bit.
We did, yeah. Like
some of our, 10 of our favorite comedies.
And do you, is this something that's like shared before, or do you, or we're revealing it as we go?
No, we'll reveal it as we go. And then I'll have a list on there or something. All right. You chose the first one. We kind of went back and forth, and then we started unconsciously collaborating. But
right,
what's your big first pick out of the gate?
We did. You're right. I do think as we were talking about this, it did turn into an exercise in groupthink, which was fun. I didn't know where my thoughts started and yours ended, buddy. I couldn't tell. We were just a couple Dustins in harmony together. my first one, and this is my very favorite movie, and we're probably going to preface all of these, right? And I'm not saying it's the best movie of all time, and I'm not saying it's the best comedy of all time, but it is my very favorite movie, and that's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Some Joker wants to race.
Race? That's ridiculous.
All right, come on, let's go, let's go.
Put your window down!
You want something?
He's probably drunk.
You're going the wrong way!
What?
You're going the wrong way!
He says we're going the wrong way!
Oh, he's drunk! How would he know where we're going?
Yeah, how would he know? Thank you, thanks a lot. Terrific.
Thank you.
What a moron.
You're going in the wrong direction. You're going to kill somebody. You're going the wrong way.
What? Have you seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I just watched it last night for the first time to prepare. And you picked it, and it's something that it's always been out there that I'm like, when am I going to ever see that movie? And I also wondered, had I seen it when I was younger? And I definitely had not.
So you had not seen it?
I had not.
Did you watch it with the solo, or did you watch it with the family?
I watched it with Shad.
Okay, good. Because I think I might have told you that it was good for the family, but there's one scene.
No, it's super funny because it would be rated PG except for one scene with just a bunch of F-bombs. Yeah, tell me about your relationship to the movie. Did you grow up watching it a bunch?
I did grow up watching it a bunch. I adore Steve Martin. I think that he and I really just like 80s comedies. Like I love John Hughes stuff because it's very funny, but it's very nuanced. Like it's not like an in your face like slapsticky, though it has elements of that. But he really does make movies that like I get legit emotional on, and like I'm such just like a curmudgeon and a suppressed emotional guy that the only way that it can really get to me, I think, is if you give me like 70 minutes of jokes and then a little bit of sprinkled in heart, and now I have some human emotion. But I just, you know, it's two of probably the top 10 comedic actors of all time, and John Candy and Steve Martin, you know, in their prime. We put on here / Tommy Boy. Tommy Boy just ripped this movie. It is the movie Tommy Boy, down to we have a fat guy and a skinny guy, and they have a big problem that they have to solve, and a bunch of obstacles that have to do with vehicles and people all along the way. And one's an idiot that you kind of fall in love with, you know, and the other one is smaller and mean and kind of sadistic, you know, it's the same movie. I think there are genuine, like hard, like laugh out loud moments. Like for us, like when they're in the car and they're trying to get the glove from the dog, You know, it's just give him the glove, you know, like it's something we yell in our house a lot. And it's hard for me to even articulate because I'm gushing. I just love this movie so much. And it has now become a family tradition that we watch it every Thanksgiving. But we do fast forward through that one scene. But I will say, I've only watched this movie for 8 years as a traveling road comedian.
Okay, yeah, personally, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, personally, that scene at the rental car center is the most relatable scene.
I was surprised watching it, being like, this is his favorite. Like, it's very funny, but it's so triggering as like a traveling person. Like, it's just so stressful. It's basically about how hard it is to travel at times.
Like, yeah,
that's the background of what's going on.
Yeah, yeah,
and it's the stress of trying to get home. And
yeah. Yeah, it's why, like, I probably wouldn't like it as much if I had encountered it as an adult, you know, or like not as an adult, but as someone who worked the road. That's like when people are like, oh, I bet you really like the, you know, like Turn the Page or Cats in the Cradle. I'm like, these are like horror songs for guys who actually work the road, you know. I can't listen to these. They hit me on too deep of a level. So
yeah.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of pain and frustration. But I will say the one thing that maybe that's the road is different for me, and that I don't ever have somebody with me, or very rarely that I do. It's a lot more of a lone dog thing for me out there, you know.
Yeah. Are you on? Do you have speakers in, headphones in?
No. Do you want me to?
Yeah, it might be better because it's like coming back through to me.
Talk about continuity. This won't look the same. The beginning and the end of the interview. Right. All I got handy is the big ones for my pod. So it's I'm going to look very different here in a second. As soon as I untangle this.
I will continue while you do that. But okay, yeah, I thought it was great. John Hughes is always fun. It's funny how much that house looks like the Home Alone house. but yeah, he has such like a specific style. I do wish I would have seen it growing up, though, because I feel like his movies, if you grow up watching them, there's like a great combination of the nostalgia and like the nuance as you see it from an adult perspective.
Yeah, I totally I agree with that. I do. There are like, I don't, did it feel dated to you as a movie, like in any way, like maybe like the cinematography or
the music is very funny.
The music is so cringy, right?
The whole thing is just like,
How about the Kevin Bacon cameo at the beginning?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it was a fun moment. I just, to me, the most dated like cinematography moments of the movie are everything to do with the wife. Like, she
has, it's odd.
Isn't it odd? It's really like,
I don't know what I'm supposed to feel about her or their relationship.
That's exactly right. I just, one of my favorite moments is like at the beginning of the movie where she cannot wrap her mind around like a delay.
Yeah.
Like, but why are you in Wichita? you have a traveling husband. You're not familiar with weather inclements at this point.
In living in Chicago, in
the winter, right? Yeah, surely. But yeah, she had some of the strangest scenes, and she really like it's almost just like, I mean, she really wanted him home for Thanksgiving. She was really taking that pretty hard.
Yeah, it was weird. All right. So as much as Tommy Boy is a similar movie, I would say that it's fantastic on its own, but we're not going there.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not, I'm not anti Tommy Boy.
It definitely is picking up something and carrying the torch there. It's good.
I bet they would say it. I would think if you asked, you know, that this is total homage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. My first pick, and this is, I have a hard time ranking favorite things. This is one of my very favorite movies. The Big Lebowski.
Smokey, this is not Nam. This is bowling. There are rules.
Hey, Walter, come on. It's just, hey, man, it's Smokey. So his toe slipped over a little, you know? It's just a game, man.
This is a league game. This determines who enters the next round robin. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't over. Give me the marker, dude. I'm marking an eight.
Smokey, my friend, you're entering a world of pain.
Walter, man.
You mark that frame an eight, you're entering a world of pain.
I'm not.
A world of pain.
Look, dude, this is your partner.
Has the whole world gone crazy? Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules? Mark at zero.
They're calling the cops, man. Put the piece away.
Mark at zero.
Walter, put the piece away.
Walter?
You think I'm fucking around here? Mark at zero.
It cannot be left off the list. I think it's such a good combination of very absurd, I don't know if it would be slapsticky, but just very absurd kind of things with so many little tiny nuances that make it very, very, very rewatchable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. It has, everything about Big Lebowski is Big Lebowski. It doesn't remind me of anything I've ever seen. I don't compare anything else to it, because it really, at times, it like kind of flows like a normal comedy, and then it gets really weird and out there, and you know, just in the introduction of certain characters. But then you do have scenes like, you know, that are just like, I'm just thinking of the, you know, the Jesus bowler guy, and you're like, this is a fastball down the middle as far as comedy goes, you know. But then, yeah, there's absolutely just like some real subtle nuance to it, and some of that nuance. One of the things that impresses me so much that movie are lines like, it really tied the room together, which is not like some obvious punchline. Like, you know, like you would see in like a normal, like popular Wedding Crashers type comedy or something like that. But it's like, it's totally in the zeitgeist. It's totally something that people say all the time now, which makes it even more satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like you were saying you were going to rag on people who like it too much though.
Yeah, I think we might we need to save that for a later genre of comedies that I will rag on people who like it too much.
Okay, I thought you were going to go for this one.
No, I do think that's I'm okay if you like Big Lebowski a lot. Maybe I said I might have, maybe in our giant thread I might have miscommunicated. I thought we were talking about I really like Big Lebowski, and I have no problem if that's somebody's favorite movie. It is, it's, you know, and Jeff Bridges is, what's your favorite like scene from that? Cause this is people who like Lebowski, I feel like they all have different parts of the movie that they like love the most. Or a lot of time they have different characters that they like the most too.
It's so hard. I feel like, I think one of the better things about it is how consistently he is trying to make a white Russian, like anywhere he's at, like it's such an absurd thing to be trying to make all the time, but using like the coffee creamer, like the powder to make it, and like just anywhere he's at, it's just, it's very like committed, and it gives him like a flavor of just, I don't know, his permanence in the world. Just he's abiding at all times, and he needs a beverage.
And he is abiding, and he is like a very interesting, you know, like if you're going down to like normal protagonist, antagonist, you know, terminology, he's like kind of your classic underdog hero, but he also, they don't ever fully remove him from his debauchery, you know, in moments like that. Like they never ever kind of let you be like, no, I mean, he's good all the time. Like the you're rooting for him, but you're not like, he's not like a good guy that you're rooting for. Does that?
Yeah. Well, I think they're also getting at, in a way, like this idea that, like when you talk about being like the hero of the story or whatever, I feel like it's casting him in this way of saying, life is, a lot of it is just happening to you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you're not like calling all the shots, and like yeah. the whole thing is a lot of things just happening to him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, oh, yeah, that's the abide, right? Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine, who we both, you probably wouldn't have known him, but technically when we were both coworkers for about 3 months, but didn't know each other. He got a verse, that was meant to be a verse, on his forearm, that just had like what looked like a drop of water. And then it just said abide, you know, and it was supposed to be Jesus. And everywhere he went, people were like, dude, I love the Big Lebowski. And it was pretty impressive that the movie was so good that it, you know, it took the word from Jesus. I mean, the Big Lebowski stole abiding from Jesus. Pretty impressive.
That's good.
I will say that I think one of the hardest I've ever laughed in a, there's two moments that I can remember laughing probably harder than I've ever laughed in a movie. And one is, it's not on this movie, but it's when they put the knife in Ricky Bobby's leg in Talladega Nights. It hit me at a moment. And then in this one, in the funeral, when, you know, when the ashes go back and hit them in the face.
Yeah, that's really good.
It just undid it so much. And I really like when moments like that are deconstructed, you know, because yeah. they really, it was supposed to be the redeeming moment of the trio. And they just went it away to tragedy.
The scene in Jackie Treehorn's house too, where he writes something down and then yeah. he pencils, like, that's so random. And yeah. like, you're waiting for some big reveal and it's like so absurd. And I love it. Okay.
Yeah. I live for that kind of stuff in movies too. It's so good.
All right. Next movie.
It's my turn, right? Yeah. Yeah. So we went back and forth on this because we felt like we had to probably choose something from this genre, right?
Yeah.
But I went with Best in Show.
Yeah, what is she here for?
What do you? I called you here 30 minutes ago.
No, you call yourself a maid?
I
where are you from? You from this country? Because I know people at the IRS and deportation offices. Don't come here, man. It's banned. And they will pick you up. You will go back to where you came from.
Lower your voice, ma'am.
I've been looking for 20 minutes for you for your stupid.
Go get your papers.
A lot of it agitation over a dog's toy.
A dog's toy?
Yes, that's what we're talking
about. Well, you don't know my dog.
A lot of
you obviously don't know my dog.
There's a pet store right downstairs. Why don't we go down?
A pet store down the stairs?
Yes.
What are you, a wizard or genius? What did you tell me that before? You are. Thanks for your help, you stupid hotel manager!
Which, it was a hard, it was a big toss-up between, you know,
the,
there's a lot.
OG.
Between the OG Spinal Tap and Best in Show. But at the end of the day, I thought about, I've probably watched Best in Show 5 times more. I know more lines. Me and my mm-hmm. wife joke about it more. I do think it's probably, even though it didn't start it, I feel like more people talk about it more than Spinal Tap, maybe just because it's 10 years newer, you know? But it to me, it's like a masterpiece of that whole Christopher Guest, you know, Eugene Mary, Catherine O'Hare, like of the improv, of the making of the scenes. We have a very, and I think it's honestly, though I would be curious to hear your relationship to Spinal Tap. I'm sure it's very similar to mine and Pete Holmes's Crashing or whatever, but it's not a comp, you know, it's different when you're in the world. But I just feel like it was just the most captivating of the premises of those movies. You more so than Waver, you know, more so than Government, more so than A Mighty Wind. I was like, the dog show is just such a strong structure to base these scenes around, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think, and there's so many more characters in Best in Show than mm-hmm. Spinal Tap. I mean, Spinal Tap is fantastic, but it's only a couple really main people that you're focusing on. Being a touring musician, there's a lot of funny things that come back. I mean, that them trying to find the stage is there's many, many clubs. That's not a joke. Like, it's absurd.
Yeah.
But yeah, Best in Show is, I think that's me and Chad's favorite for sure.
Yeah.
Very quotable. And I think Spinal Tap, I think because rock and roll has such a huge like impact culturally, there's so much that gets quoted all the time. I mean,
sure. These go to 11.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
That will never not be a thing.
That's true. That's probably the most quoted of any of the, yeah. But you are right, because it's mostly like about this dumb band. Right? Like that's the premise of Spinal Tap, this group of idiots. And it's almost like Tropic Thunder, and that it's, you know, it's meant to reveal, it's meant to be a parody of how idiotic artists are, you know? And so it's so funny in that sense, but yeah, but you don't get a lot more. Like, you get so many surprises in Best in Show, like your love, everything that's happening, and you know, and Jennifer Coolidge's character is so funny, and everybody's so funny. And then out of nowhere, Fred Willard shows up and steals the show. You know?
And I would say that it's more believable than anything else that they've done. Like,
yeah, I can see
like
that.
It's all subtlety. Like, it's people that you're like, that's really just barely passed. They're barely dialed past like reality at a dog show, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I watched, they had that show on 6 days till opening, or what, I forgot what it was called, but it was like,
okay,
it's a documentary series, and it'd be like different things, like 6 days before it opens, all the craziness that's happening,
whether right,
it's a restaurant reboot, but they had one on the dog show.
Big
dog show.
The,
yeah. And it was very, very, very close to watching Best in Show.
yeah, it, I think that, but they do other things too in it that are like, you know, like I think the couple that I like, the character that me and my wife like the most is the young couple, you know, the busy bee.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's just like, that, like, the, you know, they're in the therapy and they talk about the scenes of meeting in Starbucks. Like, there are jokes beyond dogs, obviously. Yeah. Like, there's relationship jokes. And, yeah, Where's the Busy Bee is, this is a parrot. This is, I don't know why I like it so much more than the others, but I think it's definitely my favorite of them. And I'm glad that it's you and Chad's, too.
Yeah. All right, my next pick is, again, one of my favorite movies in general, Groundhog Day.
Not bad, Mr. Connors. You say this is your first lesson?
Yes, but my father was a piano mover, so.
I don't know. I this is one of those movies that was like, it was on cable like all the time when I was a kid.
Right. Yes.
And after you've seen it, it really doesn't matter what point you pop in at.
Yeah.
So like, maybe more so than most movies, but like,
that's one of the,
I just know it so, so well. And I feel, I mean, I think a lot of his movies end up really having like a pretty profound like undercurrent, even if they're absurd and silly.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I, every time I watch that movie, I'm like, it's like life renewing, reaffirming.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
What would you articulate as the undercurrent of this movie?
You'll make me put it in words. I mean, I think a lot of it is about like being present to the moment, to the place that you're at, the time that you're at, the people that you're with, because that's the whole thing, right? He's trying to get out.
Right.
He's trying to get away from this moment because he thinks that whatever is good is somewhere else,
mm-hmm,
with someone else. And it's, you know, only in the end when he, or like, and not even just like, so that, but also like releasing control on like the moment you're in, Like, is he, a lot of it, then he spends trying to control what's going to happen.
Right.
And even fix things. Like, even when he gets to a point where he's trying to do good, he's trying to fix things that have, that are good, but he is trying to change things that he actually can't. Mm. And it's frustrating him. In the end, he finds contentment in doing just the amount of good he can do in the moment, enjoying the things he can in the moment.
Right.
And finds himself there. And it's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah. It's probably the most timely movie as far as references go. I think I've seen more Groundhog Day GIFs and memes since the start of coronavirus than maybe
oh, yeah,
another
just,
movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels a lot like it. That's all. So this is your, you would say this is your favorite. Well, I mean, if it's your favorite, so this is your favorite Bill Murray of them all.
Yes. I love Bill Murray, but I think this is my favorite. I think you see a lot of sides of him in it.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of changing throughout the movie too.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's his best acting of his movies. Like, because it really does, because he's a guy that you're watching spiral, essentially, you know, and having all these different emotions. And yeah, you see the anger and you see the silliness and you see like the despair of like giving up, like he's never going to get out, you know, like it's not easy what he was doing. He wasn't playing the same character. Like you, like that movie doesn't work unless he's great in the role, like yeah. to really, really feel like it's you waking up in that bed every day.
Yeah. And that's like, I think that's the next movie they made after Ghostbusters, which is such a shift, but.
Yeah, I wonder if it is, yeah.
Because that's the same director, too.
Yeah.
No, what's his name?
Oh, no. Ghostbusters was done by Ivan Reitman. Is that who did? That's not who did Groundhog Day.
Wait, I thought he was involved, but who else? Who did
Groundhog Day? He might have written it. That's thing with that happens a lot with John Hughes movies too. Or Harold Ramis, of course. Harold Ramis, who made like everything.
Is Ramis involved in Ghostbusters though?
Let's see here.
Maybe I'm just thinking.
Yes, he wrote Ghostbusters.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah. So there's the same thing with John Hughes, where I was saying like he would write some of them, and then he would like direct a few of the other ones, and then like be in a couple of the other ones. So yeah, but this one he directed.
Anyway, it's good.
Yeah. They're the real heroes there, the writers, anyways. Let's be honest.
The next movie. This is where we started collaborating more.
Yes.
We realized we were never going to fit even remotely the people and movies that needed to be in here in the list, and we had to be smart about it.
How long into this list did you realize that this was like a task that couldn't be accomplished? I was about 2.5 movies in.
Yeah, I don't. I think it was about here that I started figuring it out. Because we're like, wait, how are we going to fit everybody?
Yeah. So we went with Royal Tenenbaums.
Can I ask you something, Hank? Okay. Are you trying to steal my woman?
I beg your pardon.
You heard me, Coltrane.
Coltrane?
What?
Did you just call me Coltrane?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Okay.
But if I did, you wouldn't be able to do anything about it, would you?
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
Listen, Royal. If you think you can
march... You want to talk some jive? I'll talk some jive. I'll talk some jive like you never heard.
Oh, yeah?
Right on!
Sit down.
What? What did you say?
I said sit down,
God. Oh, I heard you. I want you out of my house.
It's not your house.
I'm breaking the ass out. Don't talk semantics with me.
No, that's just not you.
What's going on here?
Nothing.
I think what we decided was of the Wes Anderson movies, this was the one.
I think it's got everything. It's not quite as out there as some. I don't know. It's middle of the road for Wes Anderson, but that's very left of center anyway.
So. Yeah, it's kind of like if like Wes Anderson being hacky is still one of the most unique things you've ever seen in your life, you know. But it's definitely not his most out there. It's not Isle of Dogs, you know. It's not just totally weird, you know.
There's no animation in it.
There's no animation. There's very clear, I would say, protagonists, antagonists. I would say, like, there's very, like, it's all around this family, and it's a family comedy, right? I mean, it's the same. It's that's a vein of comedy, right? We talked about earlier. There's road trip comedies. This is the same thing as Meet the Parents. It's a family, a dysfunctional extended family comedy, and you get the little things with each of them. So I think it is in some ways. Let's say this maybe the most accessible Wes Anderson movies. I mean,
that's not a put down. I think it's a gorgeous movie. Like the soundtrack is.
It's amazing. So good.
Like, it's really well filmed.
Oh, I mean, there's like intense, like suicide scenes attempts in it. Like, it's not going to be streaming on Disney or Disney Plus anytime soon. You know, it's not a Pixar movie. Those are pretty heavy too. That's a bad example.
I think my favorite, like one little moment of it is, I can't remember his character's name in it. Now I can't remember the actor's name. One of the brothers.
Owen, Luke.
Luke.
Luke was Richie, right?
Luke is the one that has the
dark hair. Light hair.
Sorry, Owen. Then Owen, when he's stripping out, he's having the interview.
Yeah.
He just goes, "Wildcat." And like, that's another one of those things. I keep having these things where I need a gif for this, and there's no Wildcat gif. If you're out there, someone make it.
I know someone who makes those. So
okay,
well, get on.
I need that one.
This was like we were talking about like accessibility. My almost 70-year-old dad likes this movie, despite the fact that he like would never ever watch a Wes Anderson movie, but he likes Gene Hackman, and Gene Hackman was in movies that he knows and loves, and he's very Gene Hackman-y in it, like this is not only is this a Wes Anderson movie we have watched and enjoyed together, it's the only one I've even ever tried, you know. Now, on the earlier note of what you thought I was going to say this about Big Lebowski, where I'm at with Wes Anderson movies is people that like it too much. Like that's I feel that way. Now that's a personal thing that I should get over as a human. if you get too into it, I don't. But Wes Anderson movies are great and I love them. It's like they do it. Star Wars used to be kind of the great example of this. Like, if you're too into it, you kind of ruin it for the rest of us. You know, like it looks great. But you know, they always refer to them as films, not movies. You know? Have you seen the new Wes Anderson piece? Like, come on, guys.
All right. What's your least favorite Wes Anderson?
What was the, I can't even remember it, the name of it, because
Life Aquatic.
No, it was the Boy Scout one.
Oh, that's a fun one, but it is, somehow it doesn't all come together.
Yeah, that was it. It doesn't come together. I think that was my like breaking point too. I don't know if I've seen one since. I think that I was like,
what's the hotel one? That one's good.
The Budapest story, or what was it?
Hotel.
Everyone tells me it's great.
It's really beautiful. Like, it has a bunch of weird animations on, but it all kind of works together. But each, I feel like even more than some of his other ones, like every shot just looks like a painting.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. Which is great, but also I'm not like into a movie because it's symmetrical. you know, I'm like, oh man, that's not what does it for me as far as movies go. But I will say, I'll go back to it because I had a little bit of an experience. Like I would compare it to when I saw Lady in the Water and M. Night Shyamalan movies. I'm like, I'm out. I'm you done.
Oh, the movie's fantastic.
You like Lady in the Water?
It's fantastic.
Oh man, that just makes me...
that's a very divisive movie though.
Yeah.
People really hate it or love it. I love it.
I thought The Village was the divisive one, you know?
Because some people love and some people hate it.
The ending, as far as like the payoff was like too...
I watched it again later and I liked it more than I did the first time, I think.
Yeah.
That's a really beautiful film though. But I really like Lady in the Water.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Like maybe I'm wrong. But that was very similar to, the Wes Anderson movie that, again, I forgot the name of, 20 seconds later. I was like, all right, I'm going to at least take a break. I'm going to take a Wes Anderson Sabbath.
Yeah.
I'm going to rest.
All right. Next movie. This is our Chevy Chase selection.
Yeah.
And our Christmas selection. Mm-hmm. We got Christmas Vacation, the greatest of the vacations, we decided.
Looks like the toad overestimated the height of his living room ceiling.
Hey, Griswold, where do you think you're going to put a tree that big? Bend over and I'll show you. You've got a lot of nerve talking to me like that, Griswold.
I wasn't talking to you.
I think so, yeah. It was the second, right? Because just the regular vacation was the first one, I would think. I don't remember the order. I was quite young when these were coming out.
Vacation's great. I think Christmas has an advantage. A being a Christmas movie that you end up watching more.
Yes.
Because it comes back around. And you've got all that nostalgia wrapped into it. Like, I guess everyone does Vacation kind of thing too. So you get that. They're both relatable, but.
Yeah.
The Christmas one is. It's lit.
Oh, man, it is lit AF. Dustin Kendrick's.
It was coming out of my mouth, and I was like, I don't say that. But then it was like, I don't know what to say. And then it came out, and I was I regretted it instantly.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to be a Patreon to hear that clip. You're going to have to chop that up. That's too funny. What I really like about Christmas Vacation, and they did it in a similar, like the heart of the vacation movies are a dad trying to be the best dad he can to his family, like provide the great vacation and provide the great Christmas, right? And like that is such a strong hook for anybody, for anything. And like in the first Vacation, even when he's like, well, I remember when he gets in the pool with the girl, but he doesn't, you know, like it doesn't come to fruition, you know, like he ends up, actually, no, I think he gets caught. Maybe he doesn't do the right thing. I don't remember what happened in that one exactly. But the point is, it's all about the Christmas bonus and the pool and the whole thing. And he's just trying to provide. And it's very much like the embodiment of no good deed goes unpunished, right? Despite his best efforts, his best intentions.
It's good. I like when he's stuck in the attic a lot. Like for so many reasons, like it's absurd, but then it's also like kind of like one of the most emotional parts in the movie. Like he's watching he finds the home videos.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, it very unexpected. And just how great is Randy Quaid in this movie? I mean, it's so good. Cousin Eddie, just classic. Just a classic little extra. Like, we're in a comedy, and now here's our most ridiculous comedic character. You know, just way over the top. And every line hits. I don't think Randy Quaid has a line that doesn't hit in that movie.
Yeah, he's awesome. Isn't his first shot just him, like, edging in behind him without... him knowing he's there, or is that later on?
Oh, I think, is that the first? Yeah, I think it is.
I think he's just all of a sudden, he's just behind him, like looking at something.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. Love it.
Okay. This next one, I was definitely going to choose. And then you pulled it out too. Hot Fuzz.
Oh, which I think so is... glad.
Hey, Biggin. Playtime's over.
Yarp.
Sergeant Angel's been taken care of.
Yarp.
He's not gonna get back up again.
Narp.
Good. Proceed to the castle.
Frank, this shit just got real. Skinner just sent someone to kill me, and now he's gone somewhere. Up to the castle, I think. I'm gonna go after him. Okay? It's Nicholas, by the way. Oh my God! What happened to your piece, Lily?
I at least as far as I can tell, it's underrated. Like, I don't ever hear anyone talk about it. Everyone talks about Shaun of the Dead. Everyone talks about... I think it's... what's the guy who makes those movies?
The actor, Simon Pegg, or the director?
Both.
Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
I
think it's his best movie for sure. It's so funny.
Yeah. I was so glad that you said that. I think this might have been the most unified we were in this whole thread, which was like that. I thought this might have been my kind of wild card. But I love this movie so, so much. And first off, like it is a total parody movie, you know, which, so was obviously Shaun of the Dead. But it's not like it's. It's a parody movie, but honestly, like, the action is still pretty great. Like, it's not like when you would watch like Scary Movie or something and it wasn't like, you know, you're like, okay, well, action's this isn't
scary too, yeah,
exactly. Like, this was a genuinely, there are some great and very gory, like at the end where the thing goes up the guy. Like, that just makes you laugh gory because you're like, what is this doing in this movie?
Yeah, but it's also great because it takes like the two main characters and almost like they both move past each other in like learning. Like, they're it's not just one of them was like off, like they're both absurd and need to change, and they both kind of like find this balance together, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is kind of yin and yang in that way. I guess I've never even thought about that, because you're right. Like, you know, Simon Pegg is way too uptight and Nick Frost is way too loose, and they meet in the middle, which is Simon Pegg coming in on a horse covered in a full artillery.
I don't know. It's also one of those movies where like every little bit is like, it's very meticulous.
Right.
In the way it's crafted, like every tiny little line needs to be there, is calling back the whole rest of the movie.
I would say, yeah, I don't think there's an ounce of fat on that movie. I think it's all, it's really, really strong. And I never know how to say his last name, but Bill Nighy, he's the chief inspector in that movie. And then he was the father-in-law, or like the mom's boyfriend in Shaun of the Dead, and he makes me laugh so much. He's like the tall, skinny guy, old guy. He was also he was the washed-up rock star in Love Actually. You seen Love Actually?
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's like the head of the. In London.
He just has a couple lines, all hit, like, I just, and I'm happy anytime he's on screen.
Yeah.
Also in Pokemon, Detective Pikachu, for which didn't make our list, I don't think.
I did not see that.
Well, yeah. Not yet, buddy.
All right, next cut. This was our Will Ferrell pick.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be one.
Of course.
We went with Anchorman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll give this little cookie an hour before we're doing the no pants dance. Time to musk up.
Wow. Never ceases to amaze me. What cologne are you going to go with? London Gentleman or... Wait. No. Hold on. Blackbeard's Delight.
No. She gets a special cologne. It's called Sex Panther by Odeon. It's illegal in 9 countries. Yep. It's made with bits of real panther. So you know it's good.
It's quite pungent.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils. In a good way.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm gonna be honest with you. That smells like pure gasoline.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, let's go see if we can make this little kitty purr. Hey, sweet cheeks. Got an invite I'd like to extend your way.
My God. What is that smell? Oh.
That's the smell of desire, m'lady.
God, no, it smells like a used diaper filled with Indian food. Oh, excuse me.
You know, desire smells like that to some people.
What is that? It smells like a turd covered in burnt hair.
Smells like Bigfoot's dick.
Oh. That smell.
Which I think is strong. It's what is it? Was there really? Is there really like a strong contender? I guess Step Brothers is not as highly,
yeah,
rated. It's really funny though.
Like Step Brothers, and I would say Old School is
old
in the discussion.
Great.
Yeah, I. But I mean, when you like Ron, like Will Ferrell is Ron Burgundy, right? Like
yes.
When you have a character whose name is known just as much like that, like it's, I mean, there are Ron Burgundy and like impersonators that I've done events with, you know, like that, that guy is in the zeitgeist, as I said earlier. I think that, to me, this is the like it may not be your favorite, like it's probably not my favorite Will Ferrell movie, but it is the quintessential and probably should be considered like the best Will Ferrell comedy, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It feels like it's like a lot of his sweet spots combining in one, like his like Goulet kind of stuff. Like it's
very much,
in,
yeah,
like...
it's very Goulet. I would 100% agree with that.
And it's like satirizing a period of time in a pretty unique way. Like,
yeah,
nothing else is really hitting that spot either.
I would agree with that too. Yeah, I've never seen anybody take on what would be what, you know, what's funny is 70s newscasters. Yeah. Can I have, okay, this is, you know, this is the hot take people, you know, come here for okay. You know, on this podcast. I really do like this movie a lot. I even though I adore him as an actor, I don't like Brick as a character.
Okay.
Steve Carell, like the line, it's just not funny to me. Like it's too, I mean, maybe once or twice, like one or two lines. It's so out there. And I just feel like some of it's just not very funny. You know, it's more just like random, you know?
I think there's parts that hit better than others. Like I love Lamp.
Lamp is classic. It's classic. Absolutely. But I think there are other parts that like that you like, I've listened to a lot of interviews and like, he was the guy that was making all of them laugh, you know, like he was just, and they're like, oh, Brick steals the show. He's so funny. And I don't think that always translated to, you know, to like every line, like, oh man, the audience loves this. Or, you know, maybe we love it, but we weren't always laughing. Maybe that's just me.
I can see that.
But I will say, and I know maybe, you know, I will say one underrated character in that to me is Champ. I think Champ is the most underrated part of that film, because I don't think he has any lines that miss. I think everything that Champ says, like, and he has
Champ
like,
is the guy who plays Packer in The Office.
Yeah, David Koechner. No, yeah, he's the sportscaster. He's the sleazeball, you know, like, and then, but then he's the one that misses Ron the most. Remember, I miss your scent. I miss your musk. Really, really underrated character. Because I feel like he's the one you think of last when you think of the crew, you know?
Yeah, I feel like I mix him with Packer, and it makes me not like him as much because I hate Packer, but...
Well, you're supposed to hate Packer, right?
I know. That's the, yeah.
That's some good acting right there.
You know, we're watching The Office with my kids right now, and that's super
Oh,
fun.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, we...
skipping some episodes, but it's,
yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, we can do some of them, and like our 13-year-old loves it, but I'm like, you can't say that's what she said around your 6-year-old sister. I can't have that being said.
Yeah, we're actually using that VidAngel thing, so it's just
oh, there you go.
Edit a bunch of stuff out and like skip certain ones, but
perfect.
It's fun to have like a show like to.
Oh yeah. Great.
I think we've had like a family show, like the shows yeah. that they like whatever, but like
yeah,
I feel like it's the kind of the equivalent to growing up watching like the TGI Friday or
yeah.
what do they call it that TGIF
yeah TGIF yeah. I just went for the
it's just
restaurant.
Confusing because that's the restaurant too. Yeah.
Ours right now is Mandalorian. We love Mandalorian.
That is a my wife is not involved in that show.
Wife is not involved. She's missing out, man.
Oh, you wanna hear, okay, here's a crazy story.
Yes.
What we're watching, okay, spoiler, if you haven't watched the 2 episodes back, it's, I don't know how to describe it. I guess that was the second one of the season. Yeah,
season,
okay. If you've not watched
season two, episode two,
then don't listen. But there's the scene where there's the crazy spider things mm-hmm. that are all over the place, right?
It's terrifying.
Okay. Yeah, it's like the first thing really to evoke that since like arachnophobia, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. I don't
okay,
I
so,
yeah.
Ugh. So that's going down. And the spiders are everywhere. It's at like the heaviest part of that. Like
yeah.
when they're like trapped in the cockpit, they can't stop them, whatever. As that's happening, the biggest spider I've ever seen in my house crawls out from behind the television.
No.
No joke. Crawl just starts dropping down on a line. No, crawls down onto the like banister, and me and my kids are just like, what is happening? And then it starts lowering itself down to the ground on its string.
Oh my gosh.
Like, something weird is happening in the universe when that's
this
going
is
on.
The stuff of nightmares.
It was really, really weird. Like it crawled out of my TV. at the spider moment.
I don't like any of that.
All right, we're near the end. We got 2 more and then a bonus. Your last normal pick was Office Space.
Joanna, would you come here a minute, please?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I was late. I was having lunch, and
we need to talk about your flare.
Really? I have 15 pieces on.
Well, okay, 15 is the minimum, okay?
Okay.
Now, you know, it's up to you whether or not you want to just do the bare minimum, or, well, like Brian, for example, has 37 pieces of flair on today, okay? Mm. A terrific smile.
Okay, so you want me to wear more?
Look, Joanna.
Yeah.
People can get a cheeseburger anywhere, okay? They come to Tchotchke's for the atmosphere and the attitude. Okay, that's what the flair is about. It's about fun.
Yeah. Okay, so more then, yeah?
Look, we want you to express yourself, okay? Now, if you feel that the bare minimum is enough, then okay. But some people choose to wear more, and we encourage that, okay? You do want to express yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, great, great. That's all I ask.
Okay.
Correct. I really wrestled on this last one, and you know, it was like, I think this is probably similar to your Groundhog Day, that it probably just hit you in a time and a place, you know, and like you just saw it a lot. And Office Space was that for me. I like watched Office Space, and then it used to air on Comedy Central a lot, so I just kind of kept watching it. And then it was one of the first movies This dates us being old, but it was on our the DVD of it was on our wedding registry. You know, we put a couple movies on there, so we actually got it as a gift for our wedding. And I think it's like a very before The Office, yeah. It was this great commentary on just the mundane and The Office wasn't really about the office space. That was just the setting of The Office, right? Office Space, yeah, was a movie about how awful corporate America and working in an office is. And it's just, oh man, I love it so much. Ron Livingston's so funny in it. And they're just from the opening, like the reason it's so captivating is because it's so relatable, starting with the opening scene in traffic and just getting there. And I had those years, like, you know, working in an office where you just like, you get into work and you just sit down and you have this like existential meltdown, you know, of just like, I've sat down, I've done this too many times, this precise routine. So it very much resonated with me, and I've seen it a lot and I love it a lot.
I think my favorite scene in that, I haven't seen it in a little while, but I like the scene with him in the conference room talking to the like consultant guys who are like trying to downsize, like all of the whole thing, just being brutally honest with it, like, I don't do anything. And they end up like loving him, and like,
and he gets rewarded for it. Yeah.
Great.
I like that. I like when movies will do that and make like, cause that is a serious, like kind of, you know, commentary on offices and consultants and all that kind of stuff. But then they will also name a character Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
That's only there for laughs. That's the only purpose of that movie. Why don't you just change your name? Why should I change my name? He's the one that sucks. And then he gets called out on it. Oh, I love Malcolm. I celebrate the man's entire collection. It's so funny. So anything that has a little serious...
Catalog.
A movie that has like a that's right there for me. It's got a point. It's a very clear what it's trying to communicate, but it also just has some very stupid, ridiculous stuff in there for no other reason than the laugh, which is like my currency, you know. Or it's not my currency, it's my export, you know.
All right, last on the main list.
Yeah.
I chose I Love You, Man.
Hands down, best fish taco I've ever had in my life. God, those tortillas were incredible.
Yeah, they make them in-house. It sets up the flavor for the whole dish.
You know what? I just realized something. I never even asked you if you were interested in buying a house.
Oh, no. No, why would I be?
Well, it's just when you called me back, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about real estate or...
You just seem like a good dude. I thought I'd see if you wanted to grab a beer, that's all.
I'm glad you called.
We get home safe, Pistol.
You got it, Jobin.
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing.
Oh, what'd you say?
I don't know. You nicknamed me Pistol, and I just called you Jobin. It means nothing. I'm drunk. I'm gonna call a cab.
All right, man. You have my number, yeah?
I got you stored in my iPhone.
All right, if you need me, call, okay?
Oh, man, I'm golden.
So we got some Paul Rudd in there.
Paul Rudd making his second appearance here.
What's that guy's name? Siegel?
Jason
Siegel, right?
Yeah, that's
I don't know if that's how you say it. Siegel?
I think it's Siegel. I have no idea.
So it's hard. This and Forgetting Sarah Marshall have them both, and are both are very good. But I feel like I Love You, Man is... Paul Rudd is definitely a bigger part of it, so that's helpful. But
yeah,
there's so we watched it on the bus. For some reason, when we're in Europe, the buses are different, and we end up watching more movies because there's this weird lounge on the top. They're like double decker buses, but you can't really stand up in either area, so it's awkward.
Great, but, like, sounds great.
There's this weird loungy area that has a mini table in the middle. It's like you can't use it for anything except watching a movie. But so we end up like watching movies, and they'll have like a little like hard drive with a bunch of movies. So it's just a grab bag of like what's on the hard drive. And so you watch like the terrible movies that are on there. And then like it had both of those. And I don't think we've all laughed that hard in a long time. It's so
yeah. Good. Talk about a time and a place movie. Cause I would say of the movies on this list, this is the one I know the least about. Like I've seen it once, you know? And I don't remember, I remember liking it, but I've never been like, man, I Love You, Man is the one for me.
Dude, it's so good. It's both their characters are great, but yeah. I think the funniest parts are Paul Rudd trying to say goodbye
to
his buddy and trying to be cool and just losing the ability to speak. It's
so Paul Rudd, like, as I mean, it's him and I'm looking at our list here. I mean, it's him and Bill Murray, the only ones that made two appearances. I mean, you could say Ben Stiller, but he was only in Anchorman for like a second, you know, as far as like big roles. And
that's a pretty good spread then. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we don't have anyone who's the same lead twice. We don't have any, right?
Yeah.
Cause you know, Bill Murray's not the lead in Royal Tenenbaums, you know?
Definitely not.
But that's the stuff that like, Paul Rudd will work forever because he is infinitely likable, you know, and apparently doesn't age cause he looked older and clueless in like 1994 than he does now.
We were just talking about, why did this come up? Oh, I was trying to think of music and movies, and we're talking because I'm doing another one of these with the guy who wrote Palm Springs. Did you watch that yet, by the way?
Mm-mm.
Oh, good. It's really good.
Yeah,
very, very good.
Okay,
so we're doing like music placement in movies.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So we end up looking at Romeo and Juliet because it's got some sweet Radiohead.
Oh yeah,
but Paul Rudd is in that. I don't know if you remember. He's what's his name in the movie?
Paul Rudd is in.
He's,
I don't remember that
so
at all.
He's the prince or whatever that like Juliet is like supposed to be with, and he's he's at the party.
Oh, that's right. That was Paul Rudd.
Oh, he's so funny. He's barely in it, but like just making these super dumb looking faces, like super excited about whatever's happening on stage, and it's great.
Oh, I gotta go back to that. I had no idea. I mean, I haven't seen that movie in 15 years, but...
We had someone over. We just were fast-forwarding to that part and watching it. That's good.
Yes. I love it.
All right. And then we both chose one bonus movie that was maybe something that doesn't get enough love and a little bit off the beaten path. I'll let you go first with your... I've never seen this. I meant to watch this one, actually, before we did this, but I have not yet.
It's my off the beaten path mode. I interpreted, I read this as like, okay, I'm going to pick one that I know probably isn't that good of a movie, but I really like, which I'm, you know, we all have our things. We all have that with like a food and a music that you're like, I know that this isn't, but for me, it was Rat Race. Rat Race is so funny to me. And it has so many, we've talked a lot about Moment of Time. I mean, it's got John Lovitz and like Seth Green and Cuba Gooding Jr. and Whoopi Goldberg, like it, and John Cleese is in it. Like it has like the most random, you know, array of characters. And, you know, the premise of the movie is, you know, that you go, it's a rat race. It's to go find a bag of money in lockers, and they start in Vegas, and then they, they have these various little clues or whatever to go. And then there's people gambling on who's going to get there first. And it's just, you know, I feel like I'm doing like a preview for the movie, and and shenanigans ensue. Mm. But we watched that recently with our kids, and my 13-year-old boy said like it's his favorite movie, which is which probably tells you that it should not be on my list. but I think that might have just cemented it that I liked it even more. Honestly.
That's good.
Yeah.
My choice here is also a sneaky way of bringing Mike Myers.
Who hadn't been on the list yet, right?
Yeah. So I Married an Axe Murderer.
So good.
This is like the movie where, like, if I find out someone likes it, I'm like, I like you. I knew I liked you. Like,
yes.
It's so, so good. So quotable. Like, mm-hmm. It might be one of my wife and I's, like, most quotable movies.
Yes.
And it makes me think, like, I was looking at this list. All these movies, at least that I had seen before, like, they're all movies I've seen multiple times. Mm-hmm. I guess that would make sense being on, like, your list. But I feel like, I was trying to talk to my kids about this. I was like, you guys just have, like, the streaming of everything. Like, when I, you know, when we were growing up, it was just like, you would, like, buy the movie you really liked and you'd watch it all the time. Yes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because they'll be like, I've seen that. I was like, so? Like,
yeah.
And they're starting to, like, realize, oh, yeah, like, it's actually good when you watch it again and it's something good. But, yeah, like, these are all so, so rewatchable. And that one, like, there's such a joy in, like, learning, especially a comedy, I think, just getting all of the little pieces and, like, remembering it and sharing it.
Yeah.
But this is, like, very up there for me as far as.
Yeah. Well, what's great about comedies, and I would say more than any other genre of movie, and personally, I mean, it might be as far as entertainment in general, but it's so wonderful, and it might be the best of the things to consume together. Like it really, because laughing with somebody is like you were talking about your bandmates in the and the bus or whatever. It's so like laughing together with somebody is so euphoric, and you like let down your, there's no more reservations. Whereas like, if it's a sad movie, you're like, I don't want to cry in front of people, you know, or I don't want to be scared in front of people. Or, you know, maybe action movies are kind of similar in that sense, but it is like it's an emotion that is generally we're all pretty comfortable doing in front of each other. And,
And I don't know the exact science of it. Actually, my kids are just watching, what's that show called? Some kid science show on Netflix, but they're doing little experiments showing the way laughter works in groups. And so they'll have like a funny video, but they'll tell the three of the kids watching it, don't laugh. And so the fourth one, like, is like, and then like just shuts down.
Yeah.
And then
they would
do something where they just showed them a picture of like a fireplace and they told three of them to laugh. And then the fourth one ends up like, you're just laughing because it's contagious.
Yeah. I would hate this show. I would throw things because that's a thing that I experience so often, not just people not laughing. That's a part of the job.
In a club.
Yeah. And as far as a live performance goes, because you are to laugh with something is to be vulnerable to an extent, at least in public, you know, a group of friends together is one thing, but like, you know, like if you, it's kind of like maybe at a concert, like with the first person who starts dancing or something like that.
Well, like even, I'm sure you get this, but like rooms not being full, it just has a different energy. And the same with you can have, you know, more people at a concert than you would have at a smaller venue, but you didn't fill out the bigger venue.
Right.
But now it feels weird. Like it's just, it's never going to have like the startup energy.
Exactly. And you just need people to kind of, lead together. That's why, I mean, comedy clubs, I mean, we play a lot of the same type venues. I mean, they're constructed with that in mind. Hey, make it dark, you know, give them a drink or two. Like, they can't see each other, only light up here, no distracting sound. Like you're trying to get rid of inhibitions essentially, you know, to create an ideal environment for laughter, you know? But yeah, if that happens all the time, we talk about in crowds, like the first person to break them, like that's a language we use a lot. Like, okay. Well, you know, Zoltan broke them or whatever, like the comedy, and you're like, oh, okay. Now they're all very comfortable laughing together. You know?
Yeah, totally.
So, but I would say on that note, I think probably the hardest I've ever laughed with my dad at a movie is So I Married an Axe Murderer, because even though it's almost gotten to the point of now 36 years of him quoting it, or however old we've been watching it. The dad talking about the kid's big head. I mean, it's looks like an orange on a toothpick. Look at the size of that, you know, like my dad's been quoting that for a decade. I remember my whole life him quoting that movie.
But so, by the way, is that kid their kid? We were thinking about this last time. Is it just way like younger?
Yeah, I think kid? That's what it is, right? Is that what it is?
It's or is like it, his mom had a baby way, way later?
Do they ever even explain that? I don't know.
No, and I'm like,
that's hilarious. I've never thought about that.
A cousin or whatever, but they don't. I feel like they would reference it if it was a cousin.
They never, as far as I know, they've never referenced it. Yeah.
That's good.
What's the line that you guys quote the most?
I was about to ask you that. Oh man. Like, I don't like, there's so many, like the Nadia, come to me. It's like dancing, like when they're out on their date. What else? Oh, like the, some of the stuff he's saying in the bathtub. What does he say? Like when he's pretending to think it's the phone.
Oh, the, I forget. I don't even remember the lines from that one. Gosh, it's been a couple of years since I've seen it, so it's not as fresh. Like, I immediately obviously remember, you know, the jazz poetry scene.
Dude, there's so many good cameos, though. Like,
dude, Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman is very, very quotable. He's fantastic in that.
Yeah.
What's his name? Who's flying the plane?
yeah, I know who you're talking about. I forget the forget his name though. Yeah, totally out of nowhere cameo, right? Like,
what's that guy's name?
Stephen Wright.
Yeah,
Stephen Wright, the greatest one-liner comedian of all time.
That's and they're like, have you ever done this before? Oh yeah, it is all the time. I've never done it at night.
which sounds like a joke that Stephen Wright would.
Yes.
Right. You know, yeah. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of little subtle lines. Like I would say a lot of times I say them and people don't even notice them, like in public. Like, are you just talking? Like, I'll be like, you know, I like the nightlife. I like to bouge. You know, like.
Negatory, good buddy.
Or anytime I'm handed a big thing, I go, excuse me, I believe I ordered the large cappuccino. Bolo Chino, so good.
That's so good. All right, so that's everyone's homework.
There you go.
Watch those last two if you have not.
Yeah, and don't judge me because Rat Race is probably objectively
he warned you.
Bad.
Yeah.
But okay. I liked it.
Yeah, Axe Murder is objectively fantastic.
I agree with that.
And so 90s.
Yeah, I mean it's based on it's based on like a jazz poet type. I mean that doesn't even exist in the world anymore.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much for hanging.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Everyone needs to go watch comedy special Overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed.
On
Amazon
Prime. Or what's the other way to get it?
It's on Gumroad. It's a website called Gumroad. You can go watch it there if you don't want to give Jeff Bezos any more of your money.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea. Okay. Dude, it was so fun to hang with you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I will see you around.
All right. Take care, buddy.